Hello, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio, broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. At CITR, we endeavor to create and uplift local and alternative art and culture, and we are forever grateful to do so on this land. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local, amateur, and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. My name is Ewan, and in the studio with me today, I have Kelk Jeffrey, who is a composition student here at UBC. Kelk, say hi.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kelk Jeffrey. I study composition at UBC. I'm currently in my fifth year of my degree. I'm just really excited to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the music that you make, the music we're going to listen to if you want us here on the show today.
So I study classical composition, so I'm very influenced by, I guess, like the classical music world, but I'm definitely trying to write in a way that still feels contemporary and up to date. And I don't like to consider what I do any differently from what a rock musician might do. I think I like to write music that will appeal to anyone in that way. And so I write a lot of music for voice, sometimes myself singing, sometimes other people singing, and I'm just recently starting to get into writing music for instruments and like instrumental ensembles.
Wonderful. All right. The first piece we have of yours today is called The Great Bears, I believe.
Yes. This is the first movement out of a larger piece I'm writing based on the constellations. And so this is depicting the Ursa Major and Ursa Minor constellations.
Beautiful. Anything else we should know before we jump in?
This is being played by my friend Michael Robert on piano, and I have been working on this piece for a very long time, and I'm just really excited to share a little preview.
All right, friends, this is The Great Bears from Kelk Jeffrey's latest suite. Have a good listen. And we are back. You were just listening to The Great Bears by Kelk Jeffrey. I have Kelk here on the show. This is Amateur Hour on 101.9 CITR FM Community Radio. Kelk, that was a really beautiful piece.
Thank you.
So I just want to kind of jump into your musical journey, your history with writing, playing, performing music. We talked a little bit off air that you are not actually a piano player yourself, that you started with violin.
Yes, so I'm actually quite a dreadful pianist. I do my best, and I can muck around at the keyboard, but mostly I grew up playing violin, and I started my degree as a violin major, actually. But alongside that, I've always been a singer and done choir and musical theater growing up. And so I've always had a very well-rounded musical education. And so, especially coming to music school, you know, I've just always been absorbing like so many new ideas. Mm-hmm. And so even though I'm like very classically trained, I don't necessarily write like that. I'm very influenced by pop music. I'm very influenced by theater and just like the storytelling aspect of music as well as just how it sounds. So,
yeah. So how do you find the process of writing for, you know, an instrument that you're not as intimately familiar with playing yourself?
Yeah, definitely. It takes a lot of research, a lot of looking at other pieces written for that instrument and analyzing the score, figuring out, okay, here's how this composer who did know what they were doing, here's how they did this. And then me trying to like imitate the same thing with my own fingers and maybe not being as agile and having to use a bit more of my imagination. And certainly there's a huge collaborative aspect of that, mm-hmm. where when I do bring something that I've written to an instrumentalist who plays an instrument that I don't play, something that works great on paper, suddenly, oh, my fingers don't move that fast, or I need to like take a breath here if it's like a wind instrument or something. And so taking into account those kinds of considerations of how an actual person interprets a score and interprets a piece of music is oftentimes so different from just writing it on a page or listening to it, playing back on my computer. So there's always surprises. And I learn a lot every time I meet with a performer.
And do you find that the exchange is kind of the other way as well? Like, is there anything that like a performer will kind of accidentally bring to a piece that you're like, that solves it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about composing is that I don't write music necessarily. I write scores. I write recipes for music that I then give to people to interpret. And sometimes my instructions that I give them aren't maybe as clear as I thought they were. And so they'll play it in a way that I didn't necessarily intend. And sometimes I have to go back and fix it and be like, okay, I have to make this more clear, more straightforward so that it doesn't happen again. Or sometimes it reveals a whole new way of, you know, interpreting it that I actually end up really liking. Or sometimes a performer will make a mistake in performance and I actually like that mistake more, and then I work it into the next version. So it's a constant collaboration, and by no means are pieces I write ever done. They're always living, breathing things. Mm-hmm. And I think working with live musicians is such a beautiful way to keep those pieces alive.
Yeah, I feel like music is like that a lot in general. Yeah. You know, like it's one of these things that's always kind of changing, growing. It is very much like a living art. Every time a new person plays an old song, it's a new,
absolutely
new piece of art. Yeah. Well, I want to talk. You've talked a little bit about, again off mic, of being a very technically minded composer, and you're studying composition here at the at UBC School of Music. So I just want to kind of talk about what is it like being in that program. What is it like studying music as a thing that you love and is kind of like your passion in life, also being kind of like doing that from an academic kind of school standpoint?
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting. I think when you go to school, they want to like drill in all the lessons into you. And so especially in composition, we're really exposed to a lot of different styles of music, a lot of very academic styles, a lot of experimental styles over the last 100 years that, you know, maybe don't resonate with everyone. Maybe like they're very avant-garde, or maybe they're a lot more, accessible. And so you get a wide range of just so many different perspectives. And I think that's a real strength of like being able to study composition. Whereas if I just were looking for pieces on my own to like, oh, I like this, I want to look at how this composer did that and write like that, I'm only going to find the things that I like. Mm-hmm. But it's actually by being exposed to the things that I don't like and having to sit in a classroom and write a paper about, sure, a piece that I absolutely hate, that I learn, like, why do I hate this? How can I either reject it and write art in a way that completely goes in the other direction? Or how can I take the little nuggets that I do like and, you know, weave it into my own style in a way that is unexpected? And so definitely I feel that in my use of harmony. You know, we're exposed a lot in music school to like early 20th century harmony, which is, if you're not familiar with it, it's just like very out there, outside of the box, a lot of dissonant clashing chords that to the average person sounds just straight up bad. And I find ways to use that and like incorporate jazz or incorporate more less like chord-based harmonies and thinking about more harmony as a product of the melody. So I don't necessarily think of chords. I think of each note in that chord being its own line and figuring out where it moves to the next chord. And so that's something that is definitely a more technical thing that I got from studying music, that if I were just listening, I wouldn't know how to do that, versus when I'm like being exposed to these scores and I'm being exposed to a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think you probably get a lot of that kind of analytical attitude in general, yeah, right? Just like looking at your own music, even a lot of those kind of principles of analysis carry over. That kind of leads me, I want to know, you were mentioning earlier just that like you draw a lot of influence from a lot of different sources, mm-hmm, both kind of in sound and just kind of attitude. Can you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I am really inspired by musical theater in the way that it can tell a story through music, mm-hmm, in that, you know, a song will have a reprise or there's a motive that, a leitmotif that depicts a character that comes up in a later, yeah, song. And even if that character's not there, you still make that connection. And that's not unique to musical theater. That's also very much used in film. But it's still, music is a narrative quality. And so in The Great Bears that we just heard, that's the first movement of a larger suite. Mm-hmm. And so in later movements, I quote parts of that first movement to hopefully recall in the audience's mind, like, oh, this bit of material, I've already heard this. It's coming up again. What does that mean? Why have I chosen to do that? What kind of story does that tell overall? I'm also very influenced by electronic music, like Sophie, Arca, Charlie XCX. And I just love how free it is and how it can take something that is so outside of the box and so avant-garde in its own right, and yet use it in a way that is accessible and use it in a way that is danceable and fun. And I think that really inspires me, because I see all of this music in my composition lessons of these incredibly avant-garde experimental pieces of classical music. And I think, how can I turn this into something fun that people will want to listen to and not just look at like an academic study?
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, definitely electronic music has inspired me in that way of like, how do I write music that doesn't sound avant-garde while, yeah, still using those
getting
ideas,
all the kind of interesting,
yeah,
technical,
exactly,
stuff that, like, yeah, when you go with a fine-tooth comb, you find all like the, oh, these are the cool little, like,
exactly,
tiny little poetic minutia, but also still having it be something that, like, when you listen to, having a good time with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just from what we've heard so far with this movement, I think you've definitely struck that balance.
Oh, thank you.
And that kind of, yeah, I want to kind of narrow in on how you write music, because again, the guests we've had on the show so far have been very much, you know, we had a rock musician for our first week and then a little bit more kind of bluegrass type rockabilly music, and a lot of that kind of comes from this, you know, jam sesh type style of writing. You know, you find this one kind of riff you like, or these words get stuck in your head and you just keep noodling around until something comes out of that. I imagine coming from the school of composition, the process might be a little bit different.
Actually, no. I mean, it's different for every person, obviously, but I definitely do have little things that I'm on a walk and I come up with this thing and I'm excited about it. So I go home and I start fiddling with it on the piano. So it is a lot of, I'm not jamming with other musicians.
Sure.
I'm jamming with myself in a different way. And I'm seeing where an idea will take me. And so I do a lot of improvising and a lot of, you know, I'll come up with one idea and then put it next to another idea and see, like, how can I bridge these ideas together? I definitely, when I'm writing, I like to move between different moods and atmospheres very quickly, actually, I'm realizing. And when I'm in the moment writing it, I'm thinking like, oh, this one section that I'm writing is like minutes long, and then I play it back and it's 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's its own little world for that moment. And then I go to another little world for that moment that also feels fully developed. And getting there is really hard. And so I have to like, sometimes I know I'm here and I want to get over there. How do I connect those threads? And it's a lot of experimentation and pulling tools out of my tool belt. And sometimes I'm just improvising and I wind up somewhere totally unexpected without even trying to. And so, yeah, every session that I go to write is totally different. I do a lot of sketching on big, big paper with like totally incomprehensible like arrows,
yeah.
Notes that only I understand, and little scribbles that nobody can actually read. And I know what it means because it's enough to like get a bigger picture. It's like I need to find the anchor points. Because I love improvising, but if I'm just improvising, I never actually finish anything. I have to make decisions and I have to find, okay, I know I absolutely want this and I absolutely want this. How do I put them in balance? How do I get from one place to the next? And I also write music in a way that is very holistic. And so I might have one section that I think is fully figured out, and then I write the intro and I'm like, oh, but now I actually have to move this and I have to swap these sections. So It's like you know, those like mobiles that babies look at, and they're like floating on the ceiling and
spinning. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have to always be in balance, and you move one thing and then it tilts the other way. And so you have to move the other thing. I don't know. I'm constantly thinking, how can I get this piece in balance? And so it's a lot of experimentation and shifting around.
Well, that's great. We're reaching the end of our first interview here, and we're going to move into a choral piece that you've written here. Would you like to say anything about that before we throw that on?
Yeah, so this is a piece that I actually originally wrote for piano, but I realized that the harmonies that I wrote for piano were very much choral harmonies, because I am also a choral singer, and so that kind of sound is just in my brain. And so even when I try to write not for choir, it sometimes sounds like it should be for choir. And so I was like, well, I'll just embrace that and turn this piece into a choir piece anyway. So I reached out to my friend Max McLean, who's a poet, and I asked him to write a poem based on the feeling that the piano piece gave him. And then I took the material from the piano piece and then recycled it to make this choir piece that is now totally different from the piano piece. And like I was just talking about, like a bunch of pieces got moved around. Something that was just a little nugget in the first version is now stretched out into like a whole chorus in this choir version. So this is Calypso.
All right. Well, friends, this is Calypso by Kelk Jeffrey. Enjoy.
Young Agrarians is the largest educational resource network for new and young ecological farmers in Canada, with a long-term goal to stop farm loss and ensure future generations can farm. YA offers farmer-to-farmer programming to grow the next generation of food growers by creating access to community, education, on-farm training, land, business mentorship, and other resources. Join our network by checking out youngagrarians.org. That's YOUNGAGRARIANS.org. Together, let's grow the next generation of viable and ecological farmers on Turtle Island.
DOXA, Western Canada's largest documentary film festival, returns to present the 24th edition from May 1st to the 11th. DOXA will screen a roster of timely and thought-provoking documentaries in theatrical venues across the city, bringing filmmakers and audiences together for an engaging cinema experience. The 2025 lineup showcases 39 features, 30 short and mid-length films, and industry events. Screenings will take place at the Vancouver Playhouse, the Cinematheque, VIF Centre, and SFU Goldcorp Centre for the Arts. Head to doxa.ca to grab your tickets and explore all that DOXA has to offer this May.
Let them grow. Look for your life.
Western Canadian Music Award winners Sargent and Comrade are back with their signature blend of lo-fi soul and ninja funk. Their upcoming album Power draws inspiration from the art of kung fu, with themes of inner harmony, discipline, and self-love. Catch Sargent and Comrade in concert presented by Infidels Jazz at the Kingsway Club in Vancouver on Saturday, May 3rd.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
And we are back. You were just listening to Why Won't You Stop by Plumtree, an incredible band in the 90s, early 90s to the 2000s, a group of teenage girls from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, touring the country between high school semesters. Really amazing story. Definitely check out that band. This is Amateur Hour on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. I am here with Kelk Jeffrey, a composition student here at UBC. Before the break, we listened to some of their music, and it was fantastic. But now we are on to the second part of the show, where Kelk has brought an artist that they are passionate about, that they feel not a lot of people know about, and we're going to listen to some of their music. So tell us about the artist you brought in today.
Yeah, so this is an artist named Izzy Senadizi. They're actually a friend of mine. I don't even know how to describe them. They're just such a phenomenal performer. Every time I've ever gone to one of their shows, I am just utterly captivated. I'm just such a fan of like their lyrics, and they're so vivid, and they just write with so much passion and integrity that I just admire them so much, and I couldn't resist the chance to give them a shout out.
Well, incredible. I had a chance to listen to these songs before today, which is not always the case with the songs people send me, and I have to agree they're quite credible, quite fun songs. We're gonna start with Crow Song and then move into Hacked Head. So here's back-to-back two songs by Izzy Senadizi, is that?
Yes.
All right, so starting with Crow Song and into Hacked Head, friends, please enjoy. Okay. I think I got it right. Oh.
Crow came to my window with something in its beak and said, "You look tired, love. I'm calling someone baby, they're looking at me crazy. I'll try to pocket my words and speak in only glances. People play at risk with what thoughts slip their lips. I slipped you too much tongue. God, what am I missing? I'm atop the precipice. Can't see the bottom of this. You could give me nothing, and I'd give you the moon. Oh, comic silence, blister in my eardrums. I wish I had a sister to talk about. It holds me like a fever, but it's cold. Headphones in your cigarettes, nothing else exists around you. Slick lip, pretty flower picker, harder to ignore. Drop a seed in my mouth and I'm smelling the roses. Perfect catalyst, I'm feeling half of your lips. Slip me a word or a few. You say I love you, take it back, do it two times again. It hasn't gotten old. You could give me nothing, and I'd give you the moon. No comic silence blistered my eardrums. I wish I had a sister to talk about. It holds me like a fever, but it's cold to my window with something in its beak and said, "You look tired, love." I started calling it baby, now it's looking at me crazy. I'll try to pocket my words and speak in lonely glances.
Thank you.
Something mean and throw a fit. Set off a fuse in my brain and go with it. I wanna feel so insane and full of shit. I better fucking perform, man.
All right, and we are back. That was Hacked Head by Izzy Sanadizi. I apologize for the profanity on the end of that, as well as for a couple of technical difficulties that happened in the midst of switching between songs. The computers in the studio are against me today. This is Amateur Hour on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. In the studio with me today is Kelk, who has brought Izzy Sanadizi's music here to talk about. Kelk, how did you discover this music?
So as I mentioned before, Izzy's a friend of mine, and we ended up doing sort of a pickup choir gig on the Sunshine Coast, and so that's how I met them. And I just started coming to their shows, and I was instantly hooked. I mean, if you ever get the chance to perform, absolutely do it. They're a local Vancouver artist. They just perform with so much honesty. I don't know. They're their own guitarist, and so it's just like such an all-around experience, and they have such an amazing stage presence, and so I'm just obsessed with them.
Yeah. So comparing this to the stuff that you normally listen to, does this kind of fit into the usual?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's such a treat when I get to like dive into artists who are so different from mm-hmm. what I normally do, because so much of what the listening that I do is like research listening.
Sure.
Like, I listen for leisure a lot, but I also have to listen for like, I'm writing this
yeah.
piece and I need to see how other things might be similar that I can draw from and get ideas from that. So yeah, this is actually, you know, very different from the normal listening that I do, but I embrace it and it's great.
And how do you find those experiences different, like listening to this versus the kind of stuff that you would listen to for school and for your own personal writing?
I guess when I'm listening to something for school or for my own writing, I'm definitely analyzing it more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like, oh, what technique did that composer use? How can I use it in my own way? Whereas when I'm listening to Izzy's music, I'm just feeling it. I'm just
yeah.
grooving. I'm in the moment. And I can turn the academic part of my brain off and just like feel the music for what it is.
Yeah. And you've talked about them being a particularly good performer. Do you have any memories of a performance?
Oh my God. I just like any time I've got to see them perform, I saw them at Redgate a while back. I don't know. I don't have any specific memories, just other than every time I have seen them, I'm always in the front row, like waving my arms, cheering. Because it's one thing to see an artist that you love, who is just amazing in their own right, but it's also another thing when they are your friend and
oh,
you
yeah.
like know them personally and you know what it took for them to get there firsthand, and you just can't help but be so proud of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been there a lot. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who are musicians, some of whom have ended up on the show, and just being able to see, you know, these people who you know well in different contexts go up there and just absolutely blow you away. You mm-hmm. know, you're not just there because you're supporting your friends. You're also there because your friends happen to be really good.
Yeah, like I would be an Izzy Senadizzy fan yeah. even if I didn't know them personally.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's great. Do you feel like the energy that they're bringing works its way into your music at all?
I think in very subtle ways. I think in a lot of their music, they take a song in a direction that you don't really expect. And you know, it will be in one vibe for most of the song, and then the bridge just has this deep, like, emotional cut, and you're like, oh, that made me cry. Why mm-hmm. did that make me cry? And that's something that I really love to do. Of, you know, I think every piece that I write has some element of, you know, introspection, and yeah, always finding a way to, like, you know, take it in a little bit of a different direction and give it a bit of that, like, more emotional color without making the entire song mm-hmm. about an emotional topic, but still just, like, having that, like, real depth of expression to be able to bring those subtleties out. And I think that's something that they do phenomenally.
Oh, yeah. No, and I mean, the lyricism here, especially mm-hmm. with Izzy's music, is just, especially Crow Song, the first mm-hmm. one we listened to, I found myself, like, the way they weave those words together makes some really, like, intricate turns that yeah. just feel so satisfying, while also kind of tugging at certain emotions there with kind of the melody behind yeah. it. Yeah, well, thank you for sharing this. This is some really great stuff. If listeners are fans of what they've just heard, anything they can listen to next of their...
From a Lover or a Friend is another one of my favorites. And then Quantum Entanglement, I was listening to on the way here. Great. And I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's such a funny and strange moment when you have a friend who's a musician and you find their music coming on to your playlist through your feed yeah. and being like, wow, I know that person.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome.
It is a joy to be in this city where there's such a colorful and interesting music scene yeah. and to be able to know these people firsthand and also be able to see them perform. Speaking of performance, I believe that you have a couple of things on the horizon.
Yes. A big thing I'm preparing for, I am putting on a recital of all of my own music. I'm premiering about 30 minutes of brand new music, and it will be on May 10th at 3:30 p.m. at the UBC School of Music. Free admission. I'd love to see as many people there as I can get. I'll be premiering all 7 movements of my piano suite. You heard the first movement today. There's 6 more movements after that, and it just gets better. So I'm really excited to share that. And I've never put on a solo show before, and very few composers do, because it's a lot of work to wrangle all of the performers when yeah. you're not performing it yourself.
Sure. Yeah, well, this has been Amateur Hour. Kelk, thank you for all that you've shared. We're going to listen to one more song here by the band Kick the Robot before we sign off. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Kelk, for coming on the show and sharing all this great music. And go watch this recital on May 10th, you said?
May 10th, 3:30.
And where is it?
At the UBC School of Music.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Friends, you're about to listen to Electric Friends by Kick the Robot. I've been Ewan. This has been Amateur Hour, and I'll see you all in a week. Have a fantastic evening.